slide. So can I get you to stand up for me? And we're going to pray this together. What we're going to pray it in our heart, all right? If you want to pray it out, that's okay too. So we just pause and shut out all the distraction and just saying, Lord, over the next 23 minutes, I just want to focus on Jesus Christ, my Lord of Lords, my Savior, my King of Kings. I'll just read out softly. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may only be a radiance of yours for your glory. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. Have a seat. All right, next slide, please. So we're doing a round circle, which I started in November. If you remember, the first Sunday of November, I talk about glory and holy, how that was God's original plan, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So now, the question we've been asking, what is God rebuilding? And Simon is resting somewhere. Simon talked about putting first thing first, as in God first. And then you remember last week, Daniel talked about loving God has to look love outsider. So that's still God's plan. God's plan is to come to redeem the world, the people of the world. The word redeem is a biblical word. It means buying back. You have to pay something to buy it back. So we were lost in sin and to the world. And Jesus said, I'm going to buy you back. Yes, you were lost as sinner, but I'm going to buy you back. Do you know what the price was to buy us back?
The sacrifice.
Well done, David. 1 point. No, not yet. Not yet. A plus.
Okay.
All right. So it's buying back through his sacrificed blood. It's not any blood. All right? So none of us can spill the blood and say, I will sacrifice my blood and buy you back. Tessia. So that's the word redeem. So Jesus have to buy us back. And then why does he buy back? To reconcile us. Because he wants a family. And that family belongs to God. It was always God's original desire when he's, you know, created Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve was start off with a couple, and then he said, hey, go and multiply. Because Jesus was looking for family. It's not individual, it's always a group of people. He said, you're going to be my family. So that's a reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 also talk that we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. And then they say, we now have the ministry of reconciliation. All of us. All of us, a ministry of reconciliation means we can look at someone who is lost and say, hey, would you like to come back to God and his family? Because now we are ambassador of Christ.
Amen.
So ambassador is to represent a country, a place. And ambassador is very important that they do not represent themselves.
Amen.
They are representing of a different country. and we are actually heavenly ambassador. So we come to this world. This world is not of the heaven. This world is very foreign to us when we are new creation. And God says, now go and be an ambassador. Now, this is where Christians get it wrong. Ambassador do not tell the foreign country how to live. All right? So someone from Nigeria coming here, hey, you're not dancing the right way. You will probably kick him out. All right? Or a New Zealand brother coming and say, oh, you know, you need to look after the sheep more than the people. So we got it wrong. Ambassador always offer peace and say, come and have a look. We do things differently. Next one, please. So, just a quick reminder, we are created for holiness. Holiness is a word that we say uncommon, set apart. It's like above everything we know. You can say it's a bit extraordinary because it's not part of ordinary. It's uncommon. And you also have a word of function set apart for a special purpose. And we are made and created in God's image to be holy because God is holy. And our job here on earth is to glorify God. Glory is the manifestation of God's holiness. He is so special and wonderful, and when he manifests, that's his glory. The earth is going to be full of his glory. So it's not about creation, it's about actually us, the Christian, becoming completely holy and glorifying God. That's your job as a Christian. And the best way to glorify God is to worship him in your lifestyle. That's our divine destiny. That's our divine design. Where do you worship God? Anywhere, everywhere, anytime. So we are the temple of God, so we can worship God anywhere because God say, I'm with you, therefore you can offer holy worship to me. Next one, please. So let me read this, all right? Eric, I just worked today, so may I get you to read that for me, please?
Our life devotion. My father, loving relationship. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love.
All right. Three key words, all right? I always say, we want to be holy and our life is to glorify God. Now Jesus sort of say, hey, my Father is glorified by this, that you all who follow Jesus bear much fruit, so to prove my disciple. So we're going to unpack the word my disciple. Just as the Father loved me, I have loved you and abide in my love. So Jesus' instruction is very simple. You need to abide in me and abide in my love. Abide means remain. Stay steadfast in your relationship with Christ. Abide is attached to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. If you are attached to Jesus Christ, the vine, as a branches, you will bear the life of Jesus. If you bear the life of Jesus, you will prove yourself that you belong to Jesus, you follow Jesus' way, you learn from Jesus, and you bear the fruit which is like Christ. Thank you. All right, next one. All right, David, if you shout too much, it will distract me. So only shout not only cheer for me in the right time. I know. Every 10 minutes, all right? Okay. All right. So what is being discipled, all right? Jesus has said, but whoever keeps my word, that's the key. Too often we keep the church word. We keep a certain pastor word. But we belong to Jesus Christ. I say to people many times, none of the pastor died for you. None of the church died for you. Only one Lord, one Savior, Jesus Christ. You belong it. You belong to Jesus Christ. Therefore, live for Jesus Christ. Church is good, but church is not Jesus Christ. You have to differentiate. So when you serve an organization, serve a church, it doesn't equate serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you serve Lord Jesus Christ, it will probably be some way that you're connected to a church body and you're serving there, you're functioning. All right? So let me read it, actually. Can you read that? Yep. Sorry.
Jesus' sonship equals our example and our lifestyle. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked.
All right. So, can you see that? We can walk as Jesus walked. That's what disciples are meant to do. All right? So it's not that we do things our way. We do things that we see the master do. And as a disciple, if you move like that, you know, you kind of follow the pattern. All right? So the pattern is become your pattern of life. The one who say he abides in me. So the testing of your life is, are you abiding in Christ? The testing is your lifestyle. If you say you are abiding and you walk a certain different walk than Christ, you do not bear the fruit of Christ-likeness, then I'll probably say, hey, you know what? You're not remaining in Christ as you should. Because the life of Christ, the vine, is not flowing you, and the fruit of your life is different from Christ-likeness. So John 5, 17, 19, and 20 is something that has been preached and said before. Vineyard used it a lot. John 5, 17 is basically, my Father is always working, 24-7. So Jesus said, my Father is always working. And then John 5, 19, and 20 is like, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak of what my Father say. So it's basically, I am not my own. So that was Jesus' example. So now we, as a Jesus disciple, would say, I don't do my own thing. I want to see what my past master is doing. Now the question is, where is Jesus Christ? He's no longer in the human form. Good question. All right, next one, please. All right, so I suggest ABC of discipleship. Disciple simply is a learner. Then the next question, what kind of learner are you called to be? You know, is it in a classroom situation where you sit down and you just have theory? You know, or is it an apprentice? Apprentice will be more like show and tell, and then you go and do it. So Jesus was show and tell. You know, come along. See how I heal this guy? All right? You can do it too. See how I feed the poor? You can do it too. See how I cast the demon? You can do it too. That's what apprentice. But it's a lifestyle. It's a lifelong. I meet Christian who has been Christian for 50 years, and unfortunately, they still stuck when they were 20. There's no growth. You know, if you are 50 years a disciple of Christ, so the Chinese, you know, oh, you reached the Grand Master. But our discipleship is lifelong, it's eternal life. So we never get there. If you come across someone who thinks they're expert, stay away from them because they're no longer learning. They're no longer a disciple. A disciple will always open to learning. So the first thing is abide in Christ. John 15, which is quite interesting. There's five I am in John, sorry, seven I am. And then the last one is John 15. It talks about I am the vine. Abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit as Paraclete. The one that is just like me to come alongside that will assist you. So that's what abiding is. That when you abide in Christ, you are living in the flow of the Spirit. So there's only four mention of Holy Spirit as Paraclete, and they're all in John's Gospel. John 14, John 15, John 16. And then there is the last, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So that abiding got something to do with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit come and dwell in us forever. He will teach us truth that we do not know of. He will remind us of what Jesus is about. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the gift from the Father. So it's just empowering, but also informing you what a disciple needs to do. So just like Jesus, so we remain in Christ, abide in Christ. So the suggestion is we as a Christian can walk away from Christ. We as a Christian, disciple of Christ, sometimes do not stick with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. I chose you to bear much fruit, fruit that will last. And if you ask anything in my Father's name, I will answer. So that disciple of Jesus arrived by and say, hey, you come and I will help you to do what I do. The B is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like is not standing here and being holy or go to the mountain and that's all you do. Being Christ-like is to do the stuff that Christ did. It's to be and do what the Christ do. So when Jesus say, I am anointed with the Holy Spirit, I'm here to proclaim the good news, to open blind eyes, we, the disciple, get to do this. But it's a lifestyle. It's a lifelong learning. That's what Jesus called you to be a holy disciple of Christ so that your life, whatever you do, whenever you do to glorify God. And the C, like I say, is a communion with the Holy Spirit because Jesus is now in the spirit form. So Jesus can be in you and with you. At the same time, when I'm working in Marin, Jesus with me there, that I can manifest his glory by doing what he wants me to do. So if you get this for the rest of your life and you devote to your life to be a disciple of Christ, a lifelong learner, then it will require discipline. It will require, I can't do this because that's a distraction. I need to focus on this. So a disciple is a trainer. If you want to train martial art, you know, I use martial art, you know, you kind of move and all that, and you build up your stamina, but you also build up your strength, the balance and all that. So part of it is spiritually, that's what you do, you know. Next one, please.
How to follow Christ? Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels."
So there's a couple of scripture I want to show you that I learned as a young Christian that have marked my life. I wish I can stand up here and say I am 100% disciple of Christ all the time. But even when I fail, I come back to this, I'm like, okay. So if you read that, okay, if anyone, all right, anyone here wishes to come after Jesus Christ, he must deny himself. What does that mean? It means, again, not my will, but I'm going to follow this master. I'm going to follow this King of Kings. And then it sort of say, you have to take up your cross. So the cross always symbolic of dying. In those times, the Roman, the cross was deserved for really the lowest class of the people there, not even citizen, and lower class of slave. So it's not a humiliation. It's basically our posture is we have to bow down so much to the King of Kings that our life no longer worth anything to us. That's why I say, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Interesting, isn't it? You want to hold on to your life? Jesus said you actually will lose it because you do not have the power to do the thing that God wants you to do or to live the life that God wants you to. That's why I say you have to let it go and then grab hold of what Jesus offers. Then he said, for what is a man profited? He gains the whole world and loses and forfeit himself. So that's very important to think, all right? You can accumulate a lot of stuff in the world and still lose what's the most important thing in your own life. So that is a value system. Where do we set a priority? Where do we think is the highest priority? So I'm not afraid to say I'm Chinese, and my family was very poor. So the dollar sign was a big attraction for me. It still is, but in circumstances, it's not desperate. So 3 years ago, I felt the Lord saying, stop optometry. It doesn't say stop working in optometry. It's basically don't have part-time or full-time. So I dropped that, even though I enjoy it. But, you know, if people call me, and I will ask Maria, like, oh, all right, you know. And so I just came, you know. So those kind of things we need to ask ourselves, for whoever is ashamed of me and my word. So this is kind of thing is a subtle. Nobody here, I hope, were like, oh yeah, Jesus Christ, nah, he's nothing to me. But our shame is more like we do not display we are disciple of Christ. We kind of like, you know, go into a room like, you know, when people like swearing and all that, we don't say anything, you know, using GS, JS, you know, JC, sorry. JS, don't know who's that. But this is the kind of thing. Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ and His word? You know, His word is what gives life. If you don't share a bit of Jesus' word, how is your friend going to know? How is the colleague? You know, this year, you know, Maria and I were recollecting because sometimes we do get depressed and discouraged. And we're like, oh, there's actually 5 conversions this year, 9 baptism. And then we were sharing with the pastor's group. They're like, you know, our church is bigger than you. You got more baptism and conversion. So we're like, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Stop complaining. We're doing all right. God is blessing us. God is doing well. So there will come a time that all of us will answer to Jesus and say, hey, I give you this Christian life. What have you done with it? We have to give account whether we are good disciple of Christ, representing our Lord or not. Next one, please. All right, this is even tougher.
The demands of discipleship. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions.
I won't say too much, but that's the word of Christ. Before that, I already say in Luke 9, Jesus said, if you don't hold on to me, and if you are ashamed of me and my word, then you can't be my disciple. So I want to make a distinction because many Christians that I know are not disciples of Christ. One is, I think, is the responsibility of the pastor not making it clear what Jesus wants. Secondly, again, we got so many voices out there, as in we got so many examples, and we're like, ah, oh, I like that brand of Christianity because they don't seem to suffer. They just rah, 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 everything is all right, you know. But this is the word of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Only one Savior, only one perfect sacrifice is Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. I say, it's in there. Next one, please.
24/7, spiritual service to God. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
So this is kind of, I'm sure Paul didn't make reference to Luke 9 and Luke 14, but this is another way of looking. All right, in view of God's marvelous mercy, what do? Paul said, therefore, the only reasonable, logical thing is to present our body as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. That's the difference. A living sacrifice means you live and you have choices because you are alive, you have free will, but you say, not my will, Jesus. Not my way, God's way. That's a daily choices because we are called to deny ourselves, take up the cross, to follow Jesus daily. You know, every day, 24/7. And it's a living and holy sacrifice. It's a spiritual service of worship. That's why I say the best form of worship is your lifestyle to be like Christ, to abide in Christ, to be Christ-like, to be in sweet communion with the Holy Spirit all the time. And watch yourself how much of the worldly view that has impact you? You know, is your lifestyle influenced by the worldly views? If it is, bring yourself to God and say, Lord, will you help me not conform to the pattern of this world? Will you transform me by the renewal of your mind? Is the mindset, is your mindset worldly or is it godly and holy unto God? Because if it is, then you will prove or know the will of God. The will of God is always good, acceptable, and perfect. It's not one after the other. It's a whole package, the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Next one, please. Oh, no. Before that. Oh, next one. All right, okay. I'm not going to talk about this, but if you want to be a good disciple, again, this is something I learned as a young Christian, be faithful. Be full of faith. Hebrews 11:6 say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who want to please God must come and approach Him and believe He exists, and then He rewards those who seek Him. That's what faithful is. You know, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own insight. Our brain is too small to work out God's word, God's will, God's way. That's why we trust. Our heart is where the faith is, not in our head. And then you acknowledge Him in all your ways. Whatever you do, when you're starting, when you're going shopping, when you see someone on the street, it's like, should I approach that? You know, he looks a bit funny. Should I approach? Go with the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There will always be risk. But if you go with the Spirit, you will bear fruits. Hebrews 11:8 basically talk about Abraham. He was called. And then God asked him to go to somewhere he doesn't know. He just got up and went. Because I use Abraham because he's our father of faith. Available, again, Romans 12:1-2 saying, you know, it's reasonable. Give your lifestyle every day, 24-7, servant heart. John 13 talk about the washing of the feet. But it's saying Jesus loved his disciples so much and then he showed them the love till the end. Then he said, Jesus know what he has in hand. Jesus know where he come from and where he's going to. You need to know your identity, therefore you can serve others. Teachable, again, if you are apprentice, we are learner, we need to be teachable and trainable. 2 Timothy 2:2 is talking about, you know, perpetual teaching those who can teach others. Matthew 18 talk about, we are disciples that are called to make disciples. You know, I don't want to say, I want to put out a challenge. Have you recently invited someone to Christ? Have you, in your life, shared the gospel? Have you sort of looked at some young Christian and say, oh, I'm going to invest time and energy? That's what making disciples is, coming alongside. Now, the Holy Spirit is with us, but some young Christians, some non-Christians need a human contact, need a human face who say, hey, I'm bearing the life and fruit of Jesus. Can I just show you something? Can I just share with you something? Can you just show the kindness? Next one, please. Ooh, finish. So that's the ABC. All right? Like I say, if you get this 50%, your life will change radically. So abide, remain in Christ. You know, throw away things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Just like I choose to abide in Christ. Be Christ-like. Don't be anyone else. Don't copy anyone else, no matter how good-looking or rich they are. Be Christ-like and be like Christ and do like Christ. And the Holy Spirit is within you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Help the Holy Spirit. He's a helper. All right? He's a teacher. He's a counselor. He's a comforter. That's what he comes. You know, chocolate is good, but Holy Spirit is better when it comes to comforting. All right? If you need comforting, just like, oh, I need a bit of help. All right, last one, I think is finished. All right, it's blank. Is anything? All right, let me pray. Father God, most of us know what you want, but we do confess it's hard, and we feel so much pressure, and other things take priority. So would you prune our priorities? Yes. Would you prune our priorities and just like, okay, there's only one thing we want to do, is just hang out with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. One thing we just want to do, to be Christ-like, to do the things that Christ have already empowered us to say, yeah, you can do it. And to have the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, always. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon all of us. May the love of the Father overwhelm us, fill our heart, the unconditional love of our Heavenly Father. And may the sweet communion, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.